Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Today on Athens News Matters, Athens is getting an indoor football team.
You're right there next to the action. So those people in those first three rows, I mean, their head has to stay on a swivel because it is high-flying action and fast-paced.
Plus, 20 new bands will take the stage at the 40 Watt next weekend.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR's Morning Edition, which reminds you of the power of one human voice. You turn on the radio some morning or your device and you're listening to Morning Edition and you hear one person telling a story from the other side of the world or from a neighborhood near you. And that voice brings you understanding of the news. Listen to Morning Edition every day.
This is Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. A little over a week ago, the new Eastside Library officially broke ground. WUGA's Haviva Saltz sat down with Amy Miller, Community Engagement and Outreach Coordinator for the Athens Regional Library System, to talk about the new library and the services it will provide. Here's that conversation.
The groundbreaking was Thursday, July 30th, at the site where the building will be constructed.
How did it go?
It went well. We had to keep it small because the area has not been cleared yet. It's still basically woods and a lot of kudzu.
Why do we want to get the library off the ground? Why do we need a library in the east side of Athens?
You know, we have the main branch, which we've had for a long time, and it was downtown for a long time, but now it's over toward Beechwood. We have a couple of resource centers in Athens that are very small at Lay Park and at Aaron Hurd. We also have the little Winterville Library that is part of the library system. But the east side of town has not had ready access to those resources. The schools there have a long way to travel if they want to get to one of our libraries. And it's just not as easy for everyone in Athens to travel to get to a library. So it was really important to both the library system and to the community in East Athens to have a place that could be a library resource, but also a community hub, which is kind of what the modern library has become.
When did this idea for an Eastside Library first emerge?
I think it's been bubbling under for a long time, but to my knowledge, the first real work that started toward making it a reality was about a decade ago. And then the actual SPLOST vote was, I think, about 3 or 4 years ago. So it's been a long process.
How much longer from right now until that library is open to the public? I know you might not have, you know, a solid date. But
we don't have a solid date, no. But what we're hoping for is by the end of 2027.
Tell me about the new library. What can we look forward to? What's it going to look like?
You can see renderings if you go online with both the architecture firm and on the county's webpage. But it's going to be a really beautiful space. They've actually planned a lot of cool Easter eggs for the interior of the library. People who are frequent visitors to the Baxter Street location might know that we have a replica of a Harriet Powers quilt. And Harriet Powers was a well-regarded fiber artist, self-taught outsider art, and they have pulled elements from that quilt for the children's department. So there will be an interactive wall with places for kids to crawl through and climb in and read, and that's going to have images like the sun that features prominently in her quilt and some of the people that are on the quilt. In the adult section, it's been designed to reflect the mill work that would have been produced by the mills that operated along the river. You know, this library is going to be right next to the Greenway, so they wanted to reflect that history. There will be a nod to the Athens music scene in the design of the building. We have gotten permission to use some music in the front window display of that library, and so we're excited to share that when the time is right to reveal what that will be. But a lot of effort was really made to reflect the community that the library was going to be serving.
Where physically is it going to be located?
So it's going to be on Old Barnet Shoals Road. The actual address is 1030. But right now what you'll see is a little area where they've started to clear the land. But it will be right there, very close to where the east side schools are, Hillsman, Cedar Shoals, Gaines, Barnet Shoals, those. So should be easy access for everyone traveling there. And it will be just about a couple minutes from where the loop crosses over there on Lexington. So there should be easy access for everyone.
So how big is this library going to be? Is it going to be bigger, smaller than the Baxter Street, the Wire Park?
It'll be smaller than Baxter. You know, that's a fairly large building, but it will contain a full children's department, a full teens department, a full adult department, and then it's also going to have a maker space, which will have sewing machines and a laser engraver and a 3D printer and computers with all kind of creative software. And then there's also going to be a business incubator, so a meeting space that the community can use that has access to computers with business software, whiteboards, that kind of thing.
Is there anything else outside of the scope of what people might think of as library stuff that you're looking forward to for this library to provide?
Well, this library is going to have a podcast recording space, which I think a lot of people will find something that will be fun to play with and also to use if you're an established podcaster and have been, you know, sort of doing this at home in your closet where with blankets all around you. So that's going to be a neat thing, and it'll have the software available to edit and really do everything you need to do to produce a podcast.
Is there anything else that this library is going to have? Any features or services that other libraries in the system don't have?
Well, I mean, the fact that it's right on the Greenway is nice. That's going to be a different kind of access and a different sort of combination of outdoor access that I think will be nice. Otherwise, it's going to provide, you know, the same access and programming and community services that all of our other libraries are able to provide with, you know, story times for kids and programs for teens and access to our social worker and, you know, author events and all the things that we try to bring to all of the Athens Regional Library System libraries.
Okay, well, Amy Miller, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The official public celebration for the new library groundbreaking will take place on the east side at 1 p.m. on Saturday, August 22nd at Hillsman Middle School. For more updates on the East Side Library, you can follow the library system's Instagram at Athens_regional_libraries. This is Athens News Matters from WUGA.
Hi, it's Maria Hinojosa from Latino USA, the NPR program heard right here each week. We all love great stories, whether it's a book or a movie or, yeah, on a radio show. And great stories are what we pride ourselves in delivering to you each week. Stories from the heart, stories that make you think, help inspire you, and maybe even get you a little angry. So if you haven't tuned in lately, I invite you to stop by. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. The Indoor Football League only has 16 teams across the United States. And starting in 2027, Athens will be home to one. To find out why, WUGA's Haviva Saltz sat down with Rob Keefe, head coach and director of football operations for Athens Indoor Football. Here's that conversation.
A lot of our listeners probably have not even ever heard of indoor football before.
Sure.
Could you explain this to me like I have never heard of any of it?
We all know UGA football. We all know big-time college football, SEC football. It's awesome. Well, then what happens when those players graduate? Well, they go to the NFL. Okay, well, what happens when you don't go to the NFL? And so much like baseball and basketball, where you can play all over the country in AAA and AA baseball, there's other avenues to professional football that's not just the NFL. And there's a desire for it as well. And there's a desire for it in towns like Athens where, you know, the University of Georgia's done playing football. Well, now what happens in the spring and the summer? So the Indoor Football League has filled that void. And so our players come from all over the country. A normal player for us is a player that maybe played at the University of Georgia, and then he played for the Atlanta Falcons for a year, and then it just didn't work out. Well, now what? Do you start a career? What do you do? Well, you're still 24 years old, and you still have a lot of football left in you. And so those are the players that we get.
So the rules are, from what I've heard, a little different from stadium football. Is that right?
Yes. So we will play in the Aikens Ford Arena, which is awesome. And so how does a whole football team fit in there? Well, it's not a 100-yard field. So it's only 50 yards long, and it's 25 yards wide. Right where the Rock Lobsters play hockey, that's where we actually play football. And so it's 8-on-8 football. And so there's not a bad seat in that arena, which is really cool. And so 8-on-8 football, and it's really high intensity. Imagine you're going to a hockey game, but the boards aren't there. And so you're right there next to the action. So those people in those first three rows, I mean, their head has to stay on a swivel because it is high-flying action and fast-paced. And then players, actually, they can catch a football and they can fall into the stands. It's really, really cool. But a lot of high scoring, a lot of hard hitting. Football's football. So at the end of the day, you're still tackling. You're still throwing the football. Full padded, football. It's just right played in the Aikens Ford Arena, which is going to be awesome.
Right. So more like a more intimate, like fast-paced, intense.
Oh, and that was a big reason why I wanted to come here too. Because not only is the game awesome, but the arena is awesome, and that's really what makes this energy and this brand of entertainment really fun. If you find the right arena in the right town with people that really can get back behind it, you're talking sellout crowds. I already know this is probably going to be the loudest environment in this league, and there's some great arenas, but the Aikens Ford Arena has the ability, in my opinion, to be the best. Not a bad seat in the house, plus it's super intimate already, and it's going to be very, very loud and rocking. It's going to be an awesome environment.
Is there also sort of a difference in culture and vibes between stadium and indoor football?
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, it's a next level of entertainment, I think. And so really it's about how you as an organization now create that entertainment. I'll be the first coach to tell you this is entertainment. You know, the NFL is entertainment. When you have a home game and you have a sellout crowd, okay, well, what are you doing with that? What are the dancers like? What's the in-game game day operations like? What's the Jumbotron like? What's the cool interactive games that the fans are playing? What's the music like? What's the pyrotechnics like? What's the lighting like? I mean, this is going to be awesome, and I'm really excited for it because, again, with high scoring, fast-paced action, really professional football, and you get a packed house, now you're creating this environment that, you know, you're not going to leave when the game's over, and you're going to be really excited for the next game. So that's where indoor football, I think, really works, because if you're in an NFL game, well, you're 50 yards away from the action. You can see it, and you're at the stadium, but you just feel a different kind of energy when you're inside of an arena like the Aikens Ford Arena to see this happen in front of you.
It sounds like almost like a theatrical, like almost like a Savannah Bananas type vibe.
Yeah, it is. It's very much like that. And so we've talked about that. So you have this entertainment value, but then you look at the players, you're like, man, these are really good players.
What would you say are some of your biggest goals going into this first season?
The awesome thing about this league as a football coach is the players are on 1-year contracts. So having a 1-year contract, you can get really good really quick. And we've already just attracted so much talent from around the country, around the South, major college football, players that have played in the NFL. Like, I know we're going to be awesome on the field. So my goal every year is to win a championship. And then off the field, we want to see everybody in our gear and our logo. We want to be a point of topic at, you know, dinner tables. And we want people to know who we are and our team names. We want our players to be recognized in the community. And we want to do great things in the community. And then Mike will tell you, our ownership group, they want to give back.
So the season, like you said, starts March of 2027, right?
Yes.
What's the timeline look like from here till the beginning of the season?
That's a great question, too. So we'll take it for right now. So right now, here we are in August. So big thing for August, we're branding right now. So we're going to come up with the team name, the team logo, the team colors, and then we'll know. We'll know who we are. We'll know what we're representing, not only Athens, but, you know, what's the backstory to the team name that we have. And then for me as a football coach, September is when we'll put that coaching staff together. We're really excited about that. There's a lot of great coaches around the country that really want to be here, so we're attracting the right people. We'll start signing players in October. So October 1st, you'll start seeing players come across our website and our social media. You'll start kind of seeing the level of talent that we're acquiring. And so that's kind of my goal, is just really from the recruiting standpoint. We can't draft our players. So it's all recruiting based. So I'm selling Athens, I'm selling the Aikens, I'm selling everything. We're putting this stuff together the right way. Our team schedule, the league schedule will come out in late October, early November. And so then fans will then know, okay, these are the dates. And then before you know it, it is March. And then March is training camp, which is awesome. And then we start our games will probably be at the end of March is when our first home game will be, maybe early April, depending on what that schedule comes out. And eventually it's just going to take shape, and before you know it, the season will be here. You know, I love what I do. Hopefully you can hear it through the mic here, and I'm excited to be in Athens and to learn everything about Athens and this part of Georgia. But I'm really excited to bring this level of entertainment to the community. I can tell that it's looking for something really cool, and I'm just really proud to be a part of it, and I appreciate the time that you give me to talk about it.
Well, Rob Keefe, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
The Athens indoor football team's official name and logo will be unveiled on August 26th at noon in the Classic Center Atrium. The team's first season will begin in 2027 at Aikens Ford Arena. You can get updates online at athensfootball.com or on social media at Athens Football. An extended version of this interview is available on our website, wuga.org. Local music scenes are always collaborative projects. Connection is key to organizing practice schedules, booking shows, and recording music. Athens is no different, and this year sees the return of an event where collaboration is front and center. WUGA's Joseph Mazzola has more.
Faceoff started in 2007 when Athens musician Jeff Tobias thought of bringing random musicians together for a month to see what kind of music they could create. The event takes 60 local musicians and groups them into 20 trios, and each group is given 1 month to prepare 10 to 15 minutes of music and perform it live. This year, Face Off will be August 15th at the 40 Watt, with proceeds going to support the Athens Immigrants' Rights Coalition and Nucci Space.
It was like 70s sci-fi dystopian animation music.
That is Jessica Smith, one of the organizers of this year's Face Off, along with Naoko Uno, one of the co-organizers. Smith sat in on some of the practice sessions this year.
It reminded me of like Fantastic Planet. Like it was like robots if they were marching to destroy humanity.
After 2007, Face Off became a yearly event. Smith helped Tobias organize it in 2011 before he moved to New York.
I sort of shadowed him as we were pulling names literally out of a hat to make the trios. And then I wasn't sure if I could really pull it off on my own. So it was sort of dormant for a few years.
Then Smith revived the event in 2016 with Uno. Uno had participated in Face Off in 2009, but left Athens. After she moved back, Face Off became a yearly event once more, until the COVID-19 pandemic. Uno had moved away again, and most live events were on indefinite pause. The 40 Watt was closed for about a year and a half, and annual events like Athfest and Porchfest took a few years to come back.
Those are typically large capacity events, and for ours in particular, it requires a lot of trust because you have people who are potentially, you know, coming into each other's homes as strangers. So I had kind of made my peace with it that maybe, you know, that Face Off had had its run. It was a good run.
That is, until Uno returned in 2024.
The music scene felt like splintered. So I really wanted to bring Face Off back to just have everyone just like come back together and meet new people, because there's a lot of new faces now in the scene. So we do have a lot more genres this year. And it's not just people in well-known bands. There's other people that I've seen at open jam nights. And I'm like, you're really good. Do you want to do it?
The trios are selected at random, but who gets to be in Face Off is not random. Uno and Smith pick musicians in a thoughtful manner.
We're considering things that are a little bit more nuanced. For example, who might be someone who has just moved to town that could really benefit from meeting other musicians through this? Who could we bring out of musical retirement that we haven't seen on stage in several years? We think about musicians who haven't had a chance to ever play at the 40 Watt before.
I think sometimes we just ask people who we think are cool.
One of those people is Alec Bunkley. Uno and Bunkley met when Bunkley's emo band, Rebecca Jane, booked a show inside Ideal Bagel. He's currently grouped up with electronic artist Libba Bosham and musician Landon Woodward. That music you hear, that's one of the trio's practice sessions. One major point of Face Off is to get musicians from totally different genres to work together and build something new. Bunkley's trio initially tried to make punk music, but quickly shifted to something else.
It's just kind of a hodgepodge right now. I think we have four solid songs at the moment, and all four of them are kind of tongue-in-cheek productions of different genres. One punk, one disco, like a house song, and kind of like a slow core shoegazy song. You know, we've tried a few things, failed at a few things, and then, you know, we kind of figure out maybe playing some of this stuff should be a little bit more tongue-in-cheek.
Going through this trial and error is all part of the process for Face Off, but Bunkley says there is a way to make this process smoother.
At some point, you kind of just have to make the decision to either serve others or serve yourself, and it's a lot easier to try and serve others.
Smith echoes this sentiment, noting that everyone in Face Off has chosen to join in on a collaboration.
Everyone who participates in Face Off, they have one thing in common, at least one thing, and that is that they are open to having this experience. So, you know, from there, like, some people are going to dive in and jam together and feel it out, and others are going to meet in a neutral location and get to know each other first. But really, I mean, I think it comes down to just being in the same room together and finding out what similarities you have, what your shared interests are, and then finding a wavelength that everybody can kind of meet each other on.
And these musicians have to work together. They have to bridge the differences of genre and experience, but Smith says there is one huge constraint.
They only have a month to put their material together, so I think that creates sort of an incubator where everyone is sort of pressure cooked into getting on it, getting something prepared.
Most trios that form for Face Off don't perform together again. There are a few bands that stay together, but past Face Off events have lived on in other ways.
We've also had some romantic couples come out of it, which was not our intention, but is such an awesome origin story.
Uno and Smith enjoy seeing bands stay together, but they don't plan Face Off with that in mind.
You know, this is meant to be just kind of a one-night thing. It's a bleep in our timeline. It's, you know, kind of like a now or never sort of situation, and then next year we'll do it differently and have a totally different cast.
And that's the beauty of the whole thing, throwing everyone into these pots and just seeing what happens. It's an experiment in being present. For the first time since 2019, listeners and performers will be able to share this curious pressure cooker of collaboration and music at the 40 Watt. With WUGA, I'm Joseph Mazzola.
Face Off will take place on Saturday, August 15th, at the 40 Watt Club. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the new bands will take the stage starting at 7 p.m. You've been listening to Athens News Matters from WUGA News. The opinions expressed on this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of WUGA or the University of Georgia. This week's show was produced by Haviva Saltz. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, Athens News Matters is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at WUGA.org. And will be rebroadcast Monday evenings at 8. As always, thanks for listening, and stay with WUGA throughout the week for the latest in-depth local news.